with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is a gorgeous Friday here in what's left of beautiful West by God, Virginia. Thank you very much, John Fox. And this is the Friday edition of Head On. It's been one of those irregular weeks. No, not like that. Stop it, you. It's been one of those irregular weeks. Here Monday, gone Tuesday, here Wednesday, gone Thursday, and here it's Friday, and I'm here. Where are you? You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. On your nickel, if you want to save us a little bit of coin, a little bit of fungible stuff, 304-658-3333 is also the direct dial number. Everything comes to the same place. All the phones get answered in the order in which they are received. You can reach me by email at bob@headonradio.com. Feel free. And, you know, that doesn't apply just during the live portion of the program. As some of you who listen in delay, who listen via podcast or archive, or who listen to the rerun stream know, I'm also prone to answering email when I'm not on the air. Should I engage in conversations that come in at 4 o'clock in the morning? Hello? And then we'll chat for a little bit. Because I'm always up for some conversation. This is Conversation Radio. Except no substitutes. Don't expect to find it anywhere else but headonradionetwork.com with the archives and podcasts at whiterosesociety.org. It has been... Okay, let's get this part. The reason I was gone yesterday is, it's one of those parental things. I was at the boys' football game yesterday. We took a pasting. But you know what? We're learning through this. Let's see. It was Peter Hackbert, who was one of my teachers at Berea at the Brushy Fork Institute, who said, "Fail early to succeed sooner." Fets. 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 Fail early to succeed sooner. And that's what middle school football, when you lose, it's not necessarily a failure. It's a learning experience. You get a lot of youngsters on the team who are learning the game. My son is not the only one never to have played organized ball before this year. And it still warms my heart to see the efforts being made. Very much so. So there was that. And you come back home and you say, well, you know, they're learning. It's all right. And then last night during Peter Godbold's the live program, which I'm told was wonderful, but I must admit I played hooky for, as Agnes produced, I crept into the living room, and I should have known better. If I would have stayed back here and produced, I'd be telling you a different story. I'd be saying, "Ah, gee, I wish I'd have watched that game. That was dandy as the Mountaineers went into Boulder and trounced those Colorado Buffaloes, those sons of Ralphie. Oh, God, you know, I wish, oh, yeah, but what a great show it was." No, stupid me went in and sat and watched and, you know, sort of, oh! And I can't chalk that one up to a learning experience. We'll just take this moment here for the sports fans in the audience. While I say, and I'm sure you've probably seen something like this before with one of your beloved teams, especially in college, Never before have I seen such atrocious clock management at the end of the game. There's the Mountaineers driving downfield more or less at will, getting ready to get in position for a field goal that'll end the game, that'll be a winner. And they let almost 2 solid minutes run off the clock with 2 timeouts in their pocket. Come on, guys! Yeah, it's very frustrating. Yeah, you take a kid who's been who's a senior quarterback and was a Heisman contender. You take him and you screw around with the offense just enough to make sure that he isn't in his comfort zone anymore. You know, you can mess with the comfort zone of a freshman or a sophomore. You do it to a senior at your hazard. Because the habits that have been embedded over the course of 3 years, well, they're a little harder to break. And you take that person out of their comfort zone and ouch. So that's what happened as we lost in overtime when we failed to be able to kick a chip shot field goal and let Colorado move down and just kick one of their own. Dadgummit! Or as Dandy Don Nealon, Focker, friend of Cole, used to say, oh, gosh darn it, Woody. You put 11 people out there and they put 11 people out there and you just line them up and see who's better. And, well, gosh darn it, sometimes the ball just bounces off the upright of the goalpost. Sheesh. So it was kind of a tough day, and a lot of you noted it by email, sending your condolences in. Oh, gee, Bob, sorry about your beloved Mountaineers. It's going to be a long way to December. Now, I'm willing to say right now that our chances of even getting into a bowl game are pretty darn slim. And we got them boys from the Cal College down on the plains of Alabama coming in October, and them being ranked number 9 and all, oh, it could get really brutal. Could be a rough season. Could be some tough sledding, as they like to say. But I'll be there. I'll try to watch when I can. Although it looks like I'm going back to the Nealon days of watching Mountaineer games on TV with my hands over my eyes. And kind of, if we were doing video, you'd see me covering my hands with my eyes and sort of peering through the slit between my fingers. Oh! You know, like that. Because back in the Don Nealon days, the fun of watching Mountaineer football was knowing, not suspecting, but knowing that no matter how good it got, Don Nealon would find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Every Mountaineer game was just a matter of sitting there waiting for the other shoe to drop. A very good friend of mine was in the stands in Boulder, Colorado last night, and I remember several seasons back being in the stands with him for a brisk night in Morgantown when we had a lead on a ranked Miami team. And Don Nealon couldn't even have his snapper snap the ball out of the end zone for a safety that would have given us a win by one. No, he went ahead and tried to punt from the end zone and got it blocked, and yeah, well, we lost. I was sitting there thinking of my buddy, as I knew that he was having the same sort of horrific visions, nightmarish replays running through. Yeah, I know. But enough of that. That's just to let you know where I was. Next week should be an entirely regular week, barring any unforeseen emergencies, with the exception of Thursday, which is, of course, game night. And middle school game night will continue up through pretty much the end of October. It's an eight-game season. And so, you know, Thursdays are special now. But apart from that, everything should be normal until that Thursday, and like I said, I'll be a football dad through the end of October. Now, speaking of football, I'm looking at a photograph here, and I know, this photograph has got to hang like a little sliver of a chicken bone caught in the throat of folks like Cobwebs and ELO, and Guy James, Ohio State University fans of all of them. It's the spread photo from inside the National Enquirer, now one of America's better investigative journalism. Huh? Do you have any idea how hard it is to say that? Better and investigative journalism? Yeah, the National Enquirer. You know, because the New York Times is busy rah-rahing whatever comes out of the Bush administration, and we all know about the Washington Post. And that, you know, can you just see the editorial board meeting at the National Enquirer? Hey, guys, we got a chance to do some journalism. Nobody else wants to. Okay, what do you want to do? Hey, let's go find out about Bristol Palin honking on the pipe. That's the headline. Daughter caught on video smoking pot. Plus, her boyfriend's drug abuse. Yeah, the effing redneck who likes to effing lay around and he'll effing whip your effing A. If you say anything, yeah. And so there's this big picture of Bristol Palin with a gray hoodie on. And what's it say? Who is Bristol apparently a big old fan of? That's right, America. God, ELO cobwebs guy. I'm so sorry to do this to you. OSU. Yeah, I know. God, why couldn't it say Boise State or the University of Idaho? Nope, OSU. Just gotta learn to live with it. Of course, Alaska has some of the more relaxed marijuana laws in the country, and oddly enough, for all of her conservatism, yeah, she's a conservative. That's one that Sarah Palin really hasn't taken a run at, those Alaskan dope laws. Because I guess in Alaska it's decriminalized if you grow it for your own personal use or something like that? Yeah, there it is. And Bristol Palin smoked weed on camera, the Enquirer reports in the latest installment of the tabloid's investigation into the pig-licking running mate's family values. So, there's that. And, you know, Bob, I can't believe that you'd be falling for that. They're dragging her poor family into it. No, hey, no, let's get something squared up here. Nobody's dragging Sarah, the Mussolini's family. God, I still love that. Into anything. She's the one that dragged him in when she dragged him up on stage and paraded him around like some sort of little, I don't know, fundamentalist token trophy punkins or something. And she just says, so look, they're fair game. And she needs to, you know, and if you wanted any proof that, yeah, but the McHoover administration would be 4 more years of Bush or maybe 4 more years of Hoover, well, there's your proof. We'll go from Barbie and Jenna, with Jenna rolling on the floor of some honky-tonk in Austin with a cigarette in her hand and a long-neck Budweiser in the other. We'll go from that to Bristol Palin honking on the pipe, maybe when she's, yeah, that's right, family values fans, pregnant. Hey, let's... Hey, Bristol, hit this. let's get your little fetus high too. Sure, pass it over. That bag art that. Pass it over, dude. Okay. Can you tell? Does the baby feel high inside you? You know. So yeah. 4 more years indeed. Oh, what a classy bunch. But by the way, this is one of those, gee, Bob, do you just sit around? Are you really, can you really predict this stuff? Yeah, I don't mean to be, but apparently I can. Headline, Feds closing in on Palin email theft hacker. Now, remember when... No, Marty, I don't think it was OSU, Oregon State University. I know, aren't they orange and black? Yeah, well, this sweatshirt's got scarlet and gray, and unless the Beavers... go Beavers! Unless the Beavers have... change their colors anytime reason. No, because I think it's got little Buckeye imprints in the letters and stuff, too. But bless your heart, Marty, you're trying to draw the sting out from poor Cobwebs and ELO and Guy. But no, Bristol up there in the frozen wasteland that is Moosilla or Moose Lips or wherever it is that they live. On a lake, by the way, that Sarah has helped kill. They got a beautiful view of a lake there. And thanks to Sarah Palin, it is a dead lake. Well, I'm going to go fishing for a boot. Hey, y'all, I caught a tire. Fought me all the way, too. That's a strong tire. Yeah, live in a dead lake. How nice. No, but, We expect you to respect our privacy. Tide! Every time she said, with that voice like a butcher knife, Tide! Doesn't it remind you of Lisa Loepner in the early days of Saturday Night Live in the wonderful skit with Todd and Lisa Loepner and Todd as played by Bill Murray and Gilda Radner, I guess, what, season two? Hey, it's Noogie time! Tide! Ooh, I hate it when sketch comedy becomes my reality. But yeah, Todd. No, she wanted us to respect her privacy, even though they don't respect her right to privacy. And the FBI and the Secret Service are hot on the trail of whoever the little smartass was who busted into her Yahoo account. That she kind of ought not have had. You know, gov.sarah@yahoo.com. Oh, yeah, they're going to... And let's see. The FBI and Secret Service investigate... Oh, this is where we need the really serious music in the background. The FBI and Secret Service investigating the hacking of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's private email account, which circulated widely on the Internet Wednesday, have uncovered a digital fingerprint. Hey, come over here. Yeah, bring the magnifying glass. Look here. It's a digital fingerprint. You think it's a clue? Yep. Blue's Clues for Sarah Palin. A digital fingerprint, which should lead them to the culprit. So, in other words, we are using... okay, I know that those of you then... Oh, Bob, talk about something besides Sarah Palin. Talk about, please, Bob! This ain't about Sarah Palin, okay? You know how her running mate, John McCain, says he's gonna... And my friends, I would follow Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell. But I wouldn't go any further. I didn't know. So what are the resources that should be used in following Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell being used for? That's right, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Secret Service. You know, you'd think one or the other of these groups could handle it on their own, but no, it takes two full investigatory arms of the United States government to find the person who humiliated Sarah Palin by the... publicizing her email account and pointing out what a dipstuff she is. Right? Yeah. An article post, and you know, it's funny stuff. I mean, it really is. There's that picture of Bristol looking cross-eyed at the camera. Apparently she's sitting on some sort of an aircraft while holding, little baby calculus. A campaign spokesman for presidential running mate John McCain calls it a shocking invasion of the governor's privacy. In a world where shocking invasions of gubernatorial... Yeah, it's a shocking invasion of the governor's privacy and a violation of law. It's a violation of law, darn it, because our email accounts are protected. What's that? Oh, our email accounts aren't protected? The government is free to go into our email accounts any old time they want to and can look at it because of George Bush's domestic spying program? Never mind. Well, but regular citizens can't go in and look at our private email accounts. It's a violation of law for ordinary citizens to spy on other ordinary citizens. Only the government can do that. Okay. Apparently, the hacker was able to impersonate Palin online to obtain her password. What? By saying, Todd! The hacker guessed correctly that Palin met her husband in high school, knew her date of birth and her home zip code, and using those details, the hacker tricked Yahoo. Oh, they tricked us. They tricked us, I tell you. Into providing a new password. Now, they found the digital fingerprint, right? We went through that earlier. They found that it... We got a clue here. And the FBI investigation is showing that a person claiming responsibility for the break-in sent a message to the hacked account writing, I am the lurker who did it, and I would like to tell the story. So... the clue is the person who done it saying, I done it. Dang, you just... I was going to reference Elliot Ness, but then you guys would also, hey, Bob, come on, get it straight. Get your head screwed on. This is the head on radio network, remember? He worked for the Treasury Department. Oh, for heaven's sakes. But that's okay. Sarah Palin's email account, well, that's private, and that's national security. All those spam messages saying, do you want a bigger one, or do you want to make him hot and bothered, or would you like to have a mattress that was made out of materials NASA sent to the moon, or hello, my name, and I live in Nigeria, and I want you to... You know, that's where I'll be damned. It's all coming together for me now. Those emails that we all get from the Nigerian oil heir or heiress. That's the McCain-Palin energy policy, isn't it? Holy cow! What a day. Oh, but there is some terribly, terribly serious stuff out there. From WOAI.com via WD40.com. Dateline San Antonio, Texas. A local truck driver left his family to help people affected by Hurricane Ike. But he and his family might soon have to get help themselves. What's the problem? He's behind the wheel of a FEMA truck, and FEMA trucks are parked instead of delivering. You know how they get scratching posts for the cute little kitty cats? And I need a kicking post. Then maybe, you know, with one of those really, really, like the pads that go around goalposts, so I can just whack and kick the stuffing out of it every time I read something like this. That's right. The FEMA trucks are not delivering to the Hurricane Ike devastated areas of Texas. They're sitting there, parked. Yeah, yeah. Man's a truck driver, left 5 days ago to help FEMA deliver supplies, and, they're sitting around waiting. The trucks are loaded. No, really, the trucks are loaded. Waiting to go, and nobody's given them the code to go. Truckloads of ice, truckloads of water, just sitting there. Well, you know, you contact a FEMA representative, and they say, well, we have to wait for all the bodies to wash out to sea before we can lift the no-fly zone so that nobody will know what a disaster a Category 2 hurricane was. Because, see, remember, do you remember when Katrina hit 3 years ago? I do. And places like Fox and the Rush Filthball and all the right-wing yammerheads, the gas bags and junkies that make up the right-wing commentariat, they all said that Katrina did what it did in New Orleans, you know, and they clothed it in those little sort of crypto-racist terms because the people in New Orleans were lazy and wouldn't get out of the way, or shiftless. They were too stupid to get on the buses and get out of the way of the storm, the harm's way. Did you remember? I did, sure. And Katrina was a Category 4 storm that didn't even really do that much damage to New Orleans. It was the bursting of the levees that caused all the problems. But Katrina whacked the daylights out of the Mississippi Gulf Coast to the point that there's something approaching genocide taking place 3 years on. But that was a Category 4 storm. Ike was a Category 2 storm. And it's looking like the folks on the Texas Gulf Coast did a poorer job than the folks on the Mississippi Gulf Coast or upriver at New Orleans. And yet, I have yet to hear Flush Flimball or the Hannity job, you know, the life support system for a haircut, or Bortz or O'Reilly.
Bortz!
Or any of those idiots attributing the right, well, they're just not talking about it. They've received orders and thou shalt not talk about it. Calling the people on the Texas Gulf Coast the same rotten, lousy, tawdry things they called the people in New Orleans and along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I mean, just say it. It's not there. They're not doing it. And by the way, when FEMA hires truck drivers, this for those of you interested in the labor end of things. When our government, you know, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, achieve domestic tranquility, promote the general welfare, all of that. When we hire truck drivers, we pay a lower rate to deliver much needed life-giving supplies than those drivers would get if they were hauling loads of manure or loads of toxic chemicals or loads of stuff that's come from the sweatshops of China to be shelved in Walmart stores. We pay a lower rate for drivers who put down everything. Like volunteers rushing to put out a fire, they put down everything. And they volunteer to go and drive. And the Bush administration, being the cheapskate, dirty little bastards that they are, try to lowball the drivers with cheap mileage. The driver in this story said, I'm a truck driver. My job is to drive, to get miles, to earn money. My job is not to sit on my butt doing nothing. His wife said, we're going to be short a paycheck, which means our house payment will be late and electricity might be late. But FEMA spokesperson Gerald Jansen says that the trucks are they're positioned at strategic locations to be able for available for a quick response and are dependent upon demand. That's right. Nobody on Galveston Island, nobody in the devastated Ike Zone needs any ice or water. They don't need any cleaning supplies. They don't need any of the stuff that is loaded into those FEMA trucks. They don't need it. Ah, we're doing fine here. Jesus. When the well-being of American citizens is subsumed beneath a presidential administration's need to appear normal, what? We're in trouble, but we knew that. We're screwed, but we knew that. They're a bunch of flaming hypocrites, but we knew that. So I don't know. I don't know. Oh, yep, there's our theme music. Oh, God, you guys are great. Yeah, here's our theme music for the investigation.
FBI and Secret Service agents are on the trail of the terrorist hacker of Sarah Palin's Yahoo account. This is the FBI Today.
The FBI. A Quinn Martin Warner Brothers production. Starring Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Also starring Philip Abbott. Stephen Brooks.
The only thing is, I think those actors were actually more competent than the actual... I mean, if you're an FBI agent, special field agent Schmedley, I need you to get out there on the track of the terrorist hacker of Sarah Palin's Yahoo account. Ah, boss, come on, you're kidding, right? You big kidder, you. No, you're really gonna actually send me out there to protect America against, terrorist threats, right? That was just a joke. You're not really gonna put me on the hunt for some pimply-faced 16-year-old who was able to figure out how to get into Sarah Palin's account because Sarah Palin's dumber than the mooses she kills, right? That's all a joke, right, boss?
Do I look like I'm joking? Special Agent Smedley, Sarah Palin's honor is at stake. Go protect her privacy.
But, boss, we ain't got no privacy. You done told us that time after time after time. Americans ain't got no right to privacy. Why, that's why I was listening in on your ex-wife.
I've told you never to speak about that, Agent Smedley.
So that's the beginning of tonight's conversations. I've got an email here. Got an email here from Juanita. She said, I can't get you on the phone. Just wanted to let you know Bill Clinton will be on The View this coming Monday. That should be fun. We'll look for our View report from Juanita. Are the phones working? Has anybody tried? I don't know. Nothing's lighting up here. come on, you can't all be out celebrating the end of the week. It's a little early in some time zones yet. I'm sorry, you know, in multi-million dollar radio operations, you don't have to do things like this, but I kind of do. No, I got a dial tone here, so if you want to get involved with the program, you know, you know how to do that. You pick up the phone, you dial 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or, like I said, 304-658-3333. You'll get right through, I promise you. No doubt about it. So, that's where we start this evening. And we'll take a little break and come back. Kind of dry. And we'll check into some of your emails and hopefully your phone calls. This is America's liberal voice. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. well rats. Apparently, I'm getting multiple messages now that the phones are not answering. But see, I mean, you heard this. I mean, you heard that. Yeah, I got... Okay. So here's what I got to do in the middle of the show. This is what happens when you run a one-man band. I got to get this fixed one way or the other because I got to have the lines open open and free for Peter after my show. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to fire up what we used to refer to in the radio business back in the days when there were real disc jockeys and they really played their own music. I'm going to fire up a nice long song. I apologize, but it's kind of necessary. I'm going to fire up a nice long song and try to raise the fine folks at CityNet, who do an otherwise great job. I'm going to raise them on the line and see if I can't find out just what the heck is going on. So please bear with me. I'm sorry. I hope you enjoyed the tune. Hey, it seems kind of fitting. Let's go back to 1982 with Dire Straits. From the Love Over Gold album. One of my favorites. Private Investigations. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. We're having some technical difficulties, and I'm going to put my engineer hat on and go fix them. I'll be right back.
Mike and Cindy Clare. I'm not surprised to see you here. You've got smokers cough from smoking, brewers droop from drinking beer. I don't know how you came to get the Betty Davis knees, but worst of all, young man, you've got a lung disease. He wrote me a prescription, he said, you are depressed. I'm glad you came to see me to get this off your chest. Come back and see me later. Next patient, please. Send him another victim of Astor's disease. Ah! Spend it. Knuckle down the speaker's corner. I'm a thunderstruck. They got free speech tourists.
Well, I've got about a half an answer to the problem, folks. Talking to the folks at CityNet, and they tell me that I'm going to have to pull the broadcast if we're going to fix the problem. So, I got to get this fixed before the next program starts, or else the whole night will be kaput. So, my sincere apologies. The best I can suggest is that you please don't switch away. I will have to stop this altogether because I've got to disconnect from our entire connectivity so that it can be tested from the remote end. If you'll stick around, I'll try to be back in about a half an hour or so. That's really the best I can do. I apologize sincerely, but I will attempt to be back as soon as we can fix this ugly little persisting problem. So stick around, please, and we'll be back. I'll leave it at that. You will go back to the classical music stream in a matter of seconds here. So thanks for your patience and thanks for your understanding. Lord knows this is frustrating enough to me as it is to you. So we'll talk soon. Stand by, please.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Where was I? Obviously, I think stuff is fixed. If you want to try the phones, you're free to try, and let me know if they're not. Where was I? Well, I was reminded by David in Tennessee via email that it might be worth mentioning in the middle of this, because I know there are those of you going, Bob, quit with Sarah Palin. You know, she's not. We got to get back to the real stuff. This is the real story, okay? This is the perpetuation of four more years. Dare we even contemplate it, of the same kind of filthy, underhanded garbage that we've been dealing with for the last eight. Because if you ask yourself, why did Sarah Palin have a Yahoo account? Well, the reality of that, as David reminds me, is that via an email, Mussolini told her people, don't use the Alaska State Government email, use Yahoo. We've seen this movie before, right? Oh, well, we're sorry. We can't respond to your request for all the emails of the Bush administration because we didn't use the White House servers. Whose idea was that? Well, that was the idea of Karl Rove. Oh, yes, the unseen hand having writ moves on. And he's moved on to the McCain administration. Or the potential McCain administration. And for the life of me, I can't figure out who would want more of that. Well, I don't care if anybody looks at my emails. I just send recipes back and forth to my loved ones and little emails that prove that Barack Obama is, in fact, a secret Muslim who wants us all to pray to Mecca. They wouldn't have put his picture on that Obama waffles box if it weren't true. Yeah, you know. So, Lord God, that's why it matters. This isn't about focusing on Sarah M. Palin. This is about yet another potential 4 years of watching the laws of the United States mean absolutely nothing. Her own husband won't show up, won't answer a subpoena. You know, I think I mentioned Wednesday evening that we need a movement in this United States. These United States. We need a movement where ordinary working people who carry the blessed nation on our back like you and me begin answering summonses with a very polite letter saying, "Dear Judge, I suppose you'll have to do what you must, but in light of the fact that Sarah Palin, Todd Palin, the entire Bush administration refused to honor a subpoena, I refuse to honor any summons from you until such time as they do the same." This is either a nation of laws and not of persons, or it's a little nasty oligarchy, and we can just put paid to the whole idea of the Constitution. There's no halfway, there's no meeting of the minds on that. Either the law counts or it doesn't. At least that's the way I see it. So if you want to call in and talk about that, let me know. Everything appears to be working here. If you want to talk about anything else, that's okay too. It is, after all, Friday. I checked the phones. They appear to work. And you know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-3333. Chime right in, and let me know what you're thinking. And if you get that message that says this number is not available, I need to know, because that means I got to take this thing back down again and get back on it with our provider and find out why we're having this problem. Like I said, I've said all along, CityNet does a great job. I suspect it has something to do with that last mile of the connection that is, in fact, Verizon. Because Verizon, after all, could screw up a one-car funeral. No, there's other stuff out there. And, you know, I don't necessarily have to explain all of this. But what looks like gaffes, and we tend to go, isn't that funny? A bunch of damn morons. It's much more serious than that. Because it display these so-called gaffes display a profound disregard for our constitutional form of government. The Hill, the newspaper in Washington, D.C., has made inquiry of both the staffs of Sarah Palin and of Joe Biden. They asked a very simple question. Would either of you, upon election, consider yourself a member of the executive branch of the government? Senator Biden said very clearly that the office of vice president is solely in the executive branch. On the other hand, the successor to Richard B. Dick Big Time Cheney says they're not so sure. In fact, Kevin Bagardus of The Hill said that AIDS to Musilla didn't even answer the question. Here's the quote. The spokesman for the Republican presidential campaign did not answer the question. Instead, he emailed remarks Palin gave at a campaign rally in Golden, Colorado on Monday. And it was a doozy, too, if you bothered to watch. Palin did not say what branch of government she believes the vice president's office is part of in those remarks. Rather, she said that she and John McHoover had discussed what responsibility she would take on as his second in command. See, that's the problem. These horses' rear ends have no... Never mind that they don't have an appreciation of history. They have no knowledge of history. The vice president of the United States is not the president's second in command. The vice president of the United States, per the Constitution, sits there. Unless the president should happen to shuffle off this mortal coil, and then the vice president becomes president. In the interim, the vice president serves as president of the Senate, not second in command, not commander-in-chief junior of the armed services. Just, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be demeaning to the office, but just vice president. Rats. I say that because if they're I know it probably seems a little bit disingenuous to constantly say this. Because to one degree or another, it's been said in every presidential election going back to the dear God, to the election of Jefferson. John Adams smeared here at him and slimed him and sleazed him and filthed him. And then once in office, Jefferson turned around and started sleazing and sliming and filthing Aaron Burr. Because Aaron Burr came mighty close to being president of the United States instead of Jefferson. What, one vote? But we always talk about the importance of the elections. But we have reached critical mass in this country. One more four-year term of these scofflaw bastards, and we're done. We are done. It's almost unavoidable. Yep, phones are still down. Thanks, everybody who's chimed in to tell me. So, well, it's got to be fixed. It just has to be fixed. And I don't know of many other ways of fixing it than to... I'll tell you what, I'm going to try not to take it down this time. I was specifically told to take things down so that... So that they could ping the box. But not this time. Not this time. What I'll do is I'll play some music and get back on the line to CityNet. Because, it's just got to be fixed. I'm sorry. Trust me when I say that this makes doing a program rather difficult. Heavens to Betsy. So let me crank up a little music here. A little appropriate. You know me. I like for the music to be appropriate. And we'll see what we can... pulled together. Yeah, this seems to be appropriate. Let's check out a little R.B. Morris. Yeah. I'll be back.
That's the way it rolls. psychic. I don't need a shrink. I need some time away from all this. I need a drink. What do I do here? Where will I go? Why am I so haunted by anything that I don't know? I need room to think this over. I need a ride out to Horseshoe Lake. I want to feel like it makes a difference. What difference one man makes? They say that one man over. I wanna make up my own mind. I need some time to think this over. I wanna make up my own
mind. Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, you know what they say, when life gives you lemonade. Well, no, when life, screw the lemonade. When life gives you lemons, it's either time for a gin and tonic or time to throw them in a Verizon truck. But that's me. So the regular phone problem is not fixed yet, but we've got about 55 minutes of potential conversation left in the hour. And what with this being, you know, conversation radio and everything, I've got this crazy idea that we ought to be conversating, you and I. So what I have in mind, we've tried this once before and it actually partially worked. If you want to get involved with the program, try this. 304, write this down, this is just for temporary purposes only, 304-574-7810. There is more than one way to skin a rascal. 304-574-7810. And I'll do, and there's a pretty strong likelihood we can have a conversation that way. So, you know, give it a try if you want to. 304-574-7810. And surely to God you can get through on that, because if you can't get through on that line, you know, that's the double secret probation secret squirrel line. And if you can't get through on that one, we got real problems. So give it a try. 304-574-7810. And while we're at it, you do, I don't know, maybe it's, I just don't like fundies, okay? I don't like fundies, you know that. And you know what a struggle it is for me. I mean, I'm liberal, I'm progressive. I'm trying to think of these people as my fellow Americans, people who are engaged in trying to make the, but they're not. They're not engaged in trying to make the American experience a success. They're trying to tear the American experience all to pieces so they can set up their Federal Republic Federal Republic of the Jesus I imagine. There we go. And with that in mind, it brings me to this. Now, this is again from that
appearance she did at that weirdo church that she's so fond of there in Moose Lips or wherever. And, just listen.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about Pastor Muthi. Yeah, as I was mayor and Pastor Muthi was here and he was praying over me, and you know how he speaks, and he's so bold, he's praying, Lord, make a way. Lord, make a way. And I'm thinking, this guy is really bold. He doesn't even know what I'm going to do. He doesn't know what my plans are. And he's praying not, oh, Lord, if it be your will, may she become governor or whatever. No, he just prayed for it. He said, Lord, make a way and let her do this next step. And that's exactly what happened. So, again, very, very...
So just to review, being ignorant is a virtue. You hear the little impression she did? Lord, make a way. Lord, make a way. Like, apparently Pastor Muthi is one of those folks that's had surgery on their vocal cords and has to use one of those little voter devices that's held against the throat. Lord, make a way. Lord, make a way. Doesn't know what she's doing. Just wants... He's gonna shove old Jesus around. He ain't asking. You heard her say it. He's not... If it be thy will, no, 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 none of that sissy religion. He's telling God what to do. Lord, make a way. That is, for those of you versed in the declensions and conjugations, that would be the vocative case and the imperative voice. It's not a query. It's not a humble statement. You see, these fundies have no humility as manifested in the life of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer. They have none of that. Lord, make a way! Well, who is Pastor Muthi? Pastor Muthi is a freak. Pastor Muthi? No, I'm not lisping. His real name is not Pastor Moosey. Pastor Muthi is a fundamentalist African demagogue who wreaked more havoc on an area in Kenya than you and I can probably contemplate. See, the pterodactyl thinks that it was his doing because he shoved God around, that God made her the vice presidential nominee. So the question is, who is Pastor Muthi? He's a huckster. His primary work has been to cause no end of chaos in his home in Africa, and then to go around to all these dirt dumb, middle of the night, ignorant fundamentalist churches and make himself very, very wealthy off of it. Let's listen to it. There's an evangelical video out there called Transformations. These are the people that the Pumas want to become president. Cali, Colombia.
Was well known as the drug capital of the world, and along with that, all the violence and corruption, sin of every kind you can imagine. The violence was getting worse. The church was really feeling the pressure of what was going on.
Kiambu, Kenya.
Kiambu was a town which had very bad history. In fact, it had the worst history in our country. The murder in terms of rape, violence, it was well known. This town was not growing. The churches were not growing. because of the bad reputation of the town. Nobody wanted to come.
And then it goes through California and Guatemala, and there's all these fundamentalists who are, you know, whole glory, transforming the transforming communities. Why? Well, here you go.
We prayed, we fasted. The Lord showed us a spirit of witchcraft resting over the place. The spiritual power over the town had been broken.
We have found a witch. May we burn her?
Yeah. Pastor Muthi transformed Kiambu, Kenya, because he cast out the witches. Oh, God. Makes your little head hurt, doesn't it? This woman, this ignorant, stupid, benighted harpy, this harridan, this... Yeah, and this is for you, Scott in Sweden. This Herod Virago, making its second appearance in 68 years in the English language, this Virago believes in witches. No, really. Okay, stand by for a minute. Now, this is a call coming in from CityNet. I got to take it. Oh, glory, just talking about Reverend Thomas Muthi casting out the witches from Kiambu, Kenya, and the demons have gone from our phone system. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah, really, the phones are working again. If you want to try them. You heard the call come in there. It was CityNet. And, you know, let me deal with this stupid ringer. There we go. Stupid ringer's off. So, see, after the spirit was broken, the crime rate dropped to almost zero. There's only one problem. It's all a lie. So, Sarah Palin believes in witches. With sharp, nasty teeth. And a heartbeat away from a man who is still trying to survive cancer. Above the neck melanoma cancer. Stuff that would ordinarily be called terminal cancer. Why have I got the full body shivers going on right now? Let's go to the phones real quick and see if there's anybody on the secret squirrel line. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, it's Cindy.
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
I'm okay. Am I on the right number? You want me to call back on the other one?
Well, no, this one works just fine for the moment. This is the secret squirrel number, but the phones have gotten well and they're healed. They've been miraculous. They've had a miraculous faith healing. But this will do just fine. What's happening?
Okay, well, I can't turn my speaker on because I got a web page up that has one of those squirrely music things that I can't figure out how to turn off.
Yeah.
Don't you hate that? People do that.
I think anybody who makes a web page that starts either video or audio on the minute that you access it and it loads should be taken out and whipped.
Yeah, well, these people should be taken out and whipped just for being preachers, but you know, this is a good site for all you people that really want to get a good kick out of something. This is http://www.cmtc, like Coal Mountain Turkey Club, .org. .org. Pastors getting tough. And this is all about how pastors can take a course. Of course, you got to pay for it, and it's deductible, I imagine.
Yeah, ain't nothing free in a pastoring gig.
It seems like the IRS is jumping all over their case trying to take away their tax-free status because they've been using their churches for politicking.
Well, on September the 28th, they're going to go after that, if I've read that correctly. You've run across it too, then?
Yeah, this is a gas because this is the pastors talking to each other about what their game plan is going to be.
So, well, and they're trying to force a fight. You know, they figure a fight was forced on the Second Amendment, and now everybody has the right to carry guns anywhere in America. Well, they're going to force a fight, and they expect that if they can get it up there to Scalia and the freak Alito and Roberts and Slappy Thomas in the crowd, that they'll affirm a pastor's right to use his tax-exempt status to engage in politics.
Yeah, well, that means that anybody else engaging in politics is suddenly tax-exempt as well.
No, it doesn't work quite like that. This is one of those I-O-K-I-Y-A-R moments. It's okay if you're a Republican.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, because you would think that because the way they'll frame the suit, Cindy, is they will set it up in such a way that it only speaks to religious institutions. So,
okay.
For instance, the American atheists will not have the right to politic because they're not exercising their freedom of religion under the First Amendment. This thing's so nefarious, it's sickening, because it would have to serve, if it was affirmed, as a statement that the First Amendment is not a freedom from religion.
Right. Well, now that everybody knows what that's all about, I want to kind of put that in the left side. And I forgot the point I was going to make. Oh, we'll move on to this crashing of the markets.
Yes.
And before we get to the end of the week and move off the subject, because you know how they can take a big story like the collapse of the American economy, shove it off the front page of the news while we watch O.J. Simpson on a courtroom hearing or something, and then all of a sudden the story disappears on Tuesday because the stock markets are humming along fine now. You watch. They'll do that next week. They'll take it off the front page and it won't be there anymore, as big as this story is. Did it ever occur to anyone that we're not seeing the whole story here? We're just seeing the little tippy top of the iceberg, and there's a whole bunch of stuff under the water that's going on. And I think that a good deal of it is an actual war on liberals again, that they're trying to destroy America. I've always told you that these people that are in government, they're the enemies of our country, and that they're in there destroying us from within. They are the very enemy that we've always been warned about, but we're too blind to see. And that by crashing our economy and destroying our ability to earn a living and putting us into a global depression, that they can rebuild the state the way they want to, into a fascist corporate dictatorship where we're all slaves working for
them. But only if the Repiglicans can retain power. That's ultimately the trick.
But the funny thing is, in the meantime, the only way they can keep their turkey floating is by getting loans from the government that they're seeking to destroy. And those loans, when they're called due, pretty well socializes the government, doesn't it?
Well, it's socialism for them. And, you know, Paul Krugman's been making that argument brilliantly. It's socialism for them and free market losses for us, socialist gains for them.
We can turn it around and have more of the FDR type model. What's her name? That woman that's running as an independent from Georgia. My mind just went blank.
Cynthia McKinney.
She has a very good write up on Op-Ed today about how to get out of this mess, and I recommend it for good reading today. And she writes well, and she doesn't make it so long that you die and fall off your chair trying to read it either. I have to ask some of the people that are writing out there, please, for God's sake, you know, the country is in terrible stress. The people out here, Bob, you know, you're the most cheerful guy out there. I don't know how you and all the people that do talk radio on all my favorite shows, I don't know how you guys keep the cheerful attitude up day after day and you don't just get on the net and go, and scream because this is crazy out here.
There are days. I mean, well, I have my moments, but to be honest, Cindy, I catch myself doing that and I think, you know, people aren't going to appreciate being tuning in and getting downed out. I mean, Lord, it's hard enough as it is. If nothing else, let's laugh all the way to the gallows.
This has been a particularly tough week, and a lot of people are emotionally spent, and it makes it hard for them to tune in. And when you have to glitch out and lose an hour of your show, I think a lot of them fell over asleep. You know what? I don't know how many people are still holding on, but that's what I had to say about this week's failure of the markets. I don't know.
Well, Cindy, it's not over. We'll see. We'll see more of this.
I know it's over. These people think that they're saved, and I'm laughing at them. I've been having a ball over on the Wall Street Journal all week, fighting with brokers in the blogs.
I mean, how many hot checks do they think the people of the United States can write?
Well, the whole point is that they're all absolutely freaking crazy because they're just building the stack higher and higher, and the bigger they are, the harder they fall, you know? But I think that this is pretty good, this whole issue of, oh, the companies are too big to be allowed to crash is exactly why we need to divide them up into more companies. I mean, bring back the antitrust laws that we used to have. I think they're quite important, don't you?
All we've got to do is enforce it.
Yeah.
You know, the Sherman Act is there. This is another one of those things that goes to the heart of the fundamental.
Are you sure it's still there? Are you sure the Sherman Act is still there and they didn't kill it off?
You know, it's coughing up blood on the back step, but it's still there.
I mean, I don't even know what laws. This is another thing that aggravates a lot of Americans. They write laws that are 50,000 pages long. The senators don't even read them before they vote for them, for heaven's sake. And there's so many left turns and right turns and what ifs and wherefores and contingencies written into every law that nobody can ever know the law anymore. And we were raised to say ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you break the law, you go to jail. Well, who in the hell can keep up with all of that? Who can know the law anymore? And there is no such thing as, if you have to go to court for any reason under the sun, you need a lawyer. You need somebody that can go to the source, get to a law library, find out what the latest
but that's,
is.
But Cindy, that part of it has always been there. It's always been that way. Ignorantia juris non excusat, ignorance of the law does not excuse, is a statement that has existed literally since Roman times.
I think that our model of the law has got to fit that model. You know, we've got to wind down the size of some of these packages.
And one of the things I do like about West Virginia is that if you look in other states, you'll find that there's a Class A misdemeanor, Class B misdemeanor, Class 1 felony, Class 5 felony. Here in West Virginia, we've managed to still keep it relatively simple. We got misdemeanors and we got felonies, and that line is pretty bright. And I mean, that's as far as the criminal law is concerned. Making it overly confusing is, well, a lot of these criminal laws. The fact of the matter is, a lot of criminal laws are knee jerk responses by legislators who want to be able to go home in election season and say, "See, I'm tough on crime."
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, I mean, but then again, you know, there's that video of Bristol Palin honking away on her pot pipe, and you know, Alaska has taken probably the single sanest approach to marijuana of any of the 50 states, and yet,
hey,
go ahead.
Well, go ahead and finish your thought first.
Well, I was just going to say that they're making criminals out of people who are just, you know, doing victimless stuff because, you know, especially in Alaska, you know, they're growing their own. So they're not tied to some drug cartel in Mexico or Colombia or anywhere else on the planet. They're tied to an aluminum-lined closet in their house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm against the drug war. It's obvious to me that it failed decades ago and it should be done away with. And I think it's absolutely criminal to go around chasing American citizens and jailing them for trying to calm their nerves down with their drug of choice. It just doesn't make sense to me.
From a pain perspective, it's not only doesn't make sense, Cindy, it is counterintuitive.
Well, if we get socialized medicine, maybe we can get off the backs of everyone, you know, because it's the drug companies wanting to sell their form of the drug instead of letting you have a free drug. That's what it is, and everybody knows it.
Sure. You know, you say if you've got somebody with chronic pain who says, well, you know, I smoke marijuana and it relieves my pain. What's the first response? Well, there's Marinol out there, the pill form. Well, maybe, you know, no. No. Synthesized THC, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, Marinol's legal for doctors to prescribe because it has the full faith and credit of the pharmaceutical industry.
Right. You were talking about Palin and her jerky daughter. I say like daughter, like mother, the fruit from the tree and all that stuff. But do you remember that email I sent out about how when I was raising my son, I told him, when you find a nice woman, you're thinking about maybe marrying her and you start dating her, I want you to put her little hand in yours and go for walks along the tree-lined parks and enjoy each other's company and just listen to her talk. Just let her talk. Talk, 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 talk. Listen to that voice. And ask yourself, can you live with that?
Can I listen to this voice for the rest of my life?
Exactly. I mean, when you look at her and she's beautiful and she lights up your life, you just want to overlook all the little faults like a voice like Sarah Palin's. But I ask the voters the same thing. Can you stand listening to that ratchet mouth on TV for the next 4 to 8 years?
Well, there's the second. I'm hanging on to that one too, Cindy. So we've got that ratchet mouthed woman with a voice like a butcher knife. You know, we're stringing together a real description here. And no, I can't. I mean, it's bad enough listening to Darth Cheney grumble into the microphone or dear leader, dim leader butcher the language.
The whole country is so incensed that when they hear whiny boy Bush come on the air, they all turn the TV off or turn the radio off or you know, mute it at the very least. But you know how everybody just, oh my God, there he is, turn it off. Nobody wants to hear anything come from him. No one wants to hear his voice or see his face. And that's the way it is with her too. And I can't stand another cycle of that kind of thing, you know. So that's something people ought to think about when they're choosing a president, no matter what party they're from. You know, I think that it is the issues. It is the issues.
And you know what? It is the issues, but that's what you observe is very true, Cindy, because, frankly, I could listen to Barack Obama from now on. He has a beautiful voice. It's mellifluous. It's smooth. It's even. It's rich. It's textured. And it's non-screechy.
My point exactly.
And if you want to prove hypocrisy of the right wing, if I had time, I could dig it up and run it. The on-air quote from Glenn Beck, all right, where he says that he just couldn't stand for Hillary to be president because she had, I'm sorry for the language, he said she has the voice of the, quote, quintessential bitch.
Yeah.
Now, if he couldn't stand Hillary's voice, how is it that he can listen to Sarah Palin and not just want to, you know, crawl under the desk somewhere and put an ice pick in his eardrums?
I have the answer. He's the quintessential bastard.
Yeah, well, he is that. You know, recovering junkie. He's the usual suspect as far as right wing gas bags are concerned.
He's the scum of the earth. He's the worst of all of them. He's absolutely horrific, and I can't believe he's still on the air after he said that he would murder babies, and he thinks that it's okay to murder babies. He's really a piece of work.
Yeah, well, see, bear in mind, and that's living proof, Cindy, of the double standard at work here. If some so-called liberal had said that on the air, he wouldn't be on headline news anymore. He'd be lucky to be broadcasting live from a 15-watt flickering candle flame in the middle of some wasteland.
Oh, I know. Isn't that something? Hey, I wanted to mention the caller from China.
Michael, yes.
Was it Monday?
Wednesday.
Oh, I love that call. I was getting ready to call in, and when I heard that call come in, I just sat back and really enjoyed that. And that gentleman mentioned how he gets stage fright. Essentially, it's stage fright calling in. I have exactly the same problem. I sit here and I worry and I get all worked up over whether or not I should call in, and 9 times out of 10, I just, run away and don't do it. But today, nobody's in the house. The dogs won't bark. There's no reason why I can't call in. And then your link went down. So when you gave me
it's been one of those Monday flavored Fridays, Cindy. And
I enjoyed the music.
it's interesting you would mention that because at the end of every program, I just mentioned Gina because we try to keep her in our hearts. For as much as Gina absolutely loved and believed in the idea of liberals fighting back in programs like this and the other programs on the horn, folks like Malloy, for as much as she believed in that, she was absolutely terrified, could not bear to call a program, even if she knew it was a friendly. And yet so thoroughly believed in the effort and the attempt. So, bear in mind that for everybody who can't quite make the call, you've got a lot of brothers and sisters out there.
Oh yeah, I try to think of it as the old party line phones from way back when, before we had our own phone lines. I just kind of think of it as a party line where everybody's listening in, and it's okay because I know they're there and I welcome them to the conversation,
Exactly.
And I have a message to the people in China that might be listening because that guy's plugged in listening. I want the people of China to know that there are millions and millions and millions of American citizens who deeply love the nation of China, the people of China, and we have no problem. People all over the world, in every nation of the world, we're all just moms and dads and sons and daughters and grandparents, and we all try to earn a living. We all try to do the right thing and make our lives decent, and we all have to respect one another and love one another, or we're all going to go down in a burning planet. That's baloney to hate each other, and we don't hate anybody from China. We don't hate or disrespect their government. We do business with them. And I think that this continual harping on who's a communist and who's a dictator and who's this and who's that, I think the last country in the planet that has the right to do that is the USA. Look at what we are right now.
Absolutely. And for me, all I see is working people. That's all
I want them.
And if your heart can't break for a Chinese mother grieving over the body of her child who's been killed by poison baby formula, there's something fundamentally wrong with a person who can't do that. It doesn't have to happen to an American before it's important, and the fact that it hasn't happened to an American yet doesn't mean the problem doesn't exist.
Well, I'm especially privileged to have had Chinese national friends. In fact, one best friend, two Chinese national friends of mine I work with very closely in a computer project about 15 years ago we were developing barcodes for the scanners for grocery stores. It probably was 20 years ago we were building those barcodes. And that was an interesting project. I got to know them and their families. And I would ask them, tell me all about China. We hear nothing. We have a national news blackout. And we've had a news blackout since I was born. We're only allowed to see what the CIA wants us to see, because the CIA owns the television stations. And that's a fact, Jack. They have agents on all the stations. They don't let anything out that we're not supposed to know, and that's true. And so these guys would tell me, well, most of the people in China are either Buddhist or Christian. There are very few atheists. But if you are an atheist, that's acceptable, too. They have open-door policy toward religion, and this whole idea that the missionaries are being beaten up is a political lie, the same as they use the abortion story here to get people riled up. They just do it
sure.
to get monkey base riled up, but it's untrue.
And, when you, just to extend that by a couple of factors, if you go back and you find that wonderful sort of slideshow film that was shown at the Sundance Festival a couple of years ago called Ha 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 America. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's worth looking for. And just some of the facts that it points out, there are more English speakers in China than there are in the United States.
That's true in lots of countries.
There are probably more English speakers in India than there are in the United States.
Oh, yes. I wonder how long American people are going to stand for this blackout of the world. What kind of country are we living in when we go around accusing people like the old Soviet Union of having a break down that wall? That wall is blocking people, and you've got people as prisoners. Don't you think we are prisoners here in our own country? We can't even go to Tijuana without a passport.
Oh, I know. And
I feel like a prisoner living here. I feel like I'm living behind the Iron Curtain.
And it's an Iron Curtain that's imposed not by the government as much as it is by the I guess government control of media. I mean, look at what the McHoover campaign is doing now. There's a list out there. In fact, I think Rachel Maddow ran it herself, of McHoover spokespeople who absolutely will not go on her show.
Bob, it's not a government-controlled media or a media-controlled government. It's the secret government controlling both of them. And that's my biggest gripe with America. We don't have the government that our forefathers put together. We have the CIA, the NSA, how many agencies are there? 14 different agencies. And did you know that for those agencies, those secret underground agencies, and they're quite literally underground, they have cities underground, they don't have to obey any law that is written for any other people in the whole country unless their agency is specifically named in that law and then told that they must obey that specific law specifically. They don't have to obey any laws. Did you know that?
I had read some about that. It's
yeah. And this secret agency stuff, I know about it because I used to work for some of these government agencies that did military contracts and so forth. And it always upset me to know that if I ever told anybody what it was I worked on or what it was I did, that I could be arrested for breaking the Secrecy Act, and they could put me in a Guantanamo-type prison where I don't have the right to a jury of my peers or an attorney or any. The company provides an attorney, and you just disappear into a black hole, and many people have, Bob. Many people disappeared into that black hole, and the Guantanamo model of disappearing people has gone on here in America for 40 years, and it's not talked about because people want those high-paid jobs, and they're afraid if they talk about it, they'll disappear.
Great heavenly days. Well, Cindy, I've got a couple of folks on hold. It's always good to hear from you. I'm glad the dogs weren't barking and you didn't have any dinner to fix or anything. Anytime that happens, ring right in, all right?
Okay, I'll do that, Bob, and you have a good weekend now.
I'm going to try. Take care, Cindy. Bye now. Cindy calling from the Great Northwest. And, let's keep this. A story before I go to the phones. We've got a couple of folks holding. They're all working now. But I can't let this evening end without mentioning this. Do you know about Staff Sergeant Darris Dawson and Sergeant Wesley Durbin? bless them and sympathy and condolence to their families. They were both killed in Iraq on September 14th. And your government, my government, theoretically, put out photographs of them. And it's sickening. Bob Owen is at the San Antonio Express News, and he saw the photographs of Staff Sergeant Dawson and Sergeant Durbin, and he thought, damn, these are dummied up pictures. And of course, anybody with a copy of you know, with any skills at all in photo manipulation can tell. But these are so poorly done that a layperson can look at them and tell they're dummied up. What they've done is they've taken a uniform, sitting in front, a body in a uniform, sitting in front of a flag, and they've lopped the head, you know, hey, I thought Al-Qaeda did all the beheading. They've beheaded whoever it was, and they've plopped on Sergeant Dawson and Sergeant Durbin's head to the photos. And then they've changed the names on the tag. You know, on the label on the uniform, one to say Durbin and the other to say Dawson. Sergeant Dawson is an African American man. And the photo that they photoshopped onto the neck of whoever this soldier was, or onto the body of the, is pathetic. He's faded. This is the level of dishonesty to which the Pentagon has sunk. We can't see the coffins coming home. We can't see real footage of what's going on in the occupation of Iraq. All we can see are dummied up photos from the Pentagon of guys sitting in front of some guy sitting in front of a flag with a photoshopped head on top of the shoulders. It's pitiful. Truly pathetic. That is the level of dishonesty to which the Bush administration and its Pentagon have sunken. Bob Owen at the San Antonio Express News said, I'd like to think that the media holds itself pretty accountable and we try really hard to keep high standards. Okay, you'd like to think that. He says, obviously the Army and the government doesn't see anything wrong with that photo altering at all. The Associated Press has had to retract these two government-issued photos because the photos aren't really photos of the soldiers. I mean, the creases in the clothing, if you think Progress has the story, the creases in the clothing are the same. And the brightness of the text on the name tags are so bright that a 5-year-old could tell you, Daddy, that looks like a fake photo. Well, that's because it is, son. Wow. There is absolutely no limit to the level of mendacity and the willingness to prevaricate that absolutely saturates and permeates this administration. You want more of that? Go elect McHoover and Moosezilla. That's what you'll get. Secret wars and dummied up info. And they apparently think that we're so stupid we can't see this? Mother McCree. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. This is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita. I'm so glad you could get through.
Well, I'll say here about, you know, everything. I forgot what her name was. I'm sorry.
Oh, but, Cindy?
Yeah, she was great. Made me think of so many things to say while I was listening to y'all. But I did want to add a little thing about The View. They have been criticized for being too tough on John McCain. Did you know that?
Cindy McCain came out and said, they flayed the meat from our bones, didn't she? Or something like that, didn't she?
Well, when she was on, the only thing that was a little, you know, was, I think it was Barbara Ascom had, they found out how many homes they own. Well, somebody did. And she said, well, my parents, you know, they worked hard and they were successful. And, you know, blah, blah, blah about that. She never did say how many. But anyway, Barbara said, you know, when you run for office, you have to be prepared to answer those kind of questions.
Well, I loved, I forget which comedian, late nighter it was, that said Cindy McCain was angry over the questions that Barbara Walters asked.
Oh, my goodness.
And then said, but Cindy McCain's only mad because she found out Barbara dated John back during the Civil War.
And then another thing they brought up yesterday, Cher was very upset about the Obama waffles.
And who wouldn't be?
And you know what? Maybe you already knew this, but I didn't know it until she was talking about it. It has a wrap thing on it, and she read it.
Oh yeah, I've seen all sides of the box. It's disgusting.
She was very upset about it.
The thing on the top that shows, and again, it's a caricature of Obama, and they've made it, you know, so it's so patently racist as to be disgusting.
And he's got a turban on.
Yeah, and it says point box toward Mecca for super tasty waffles or something like that. And there's a rap lyric on the side panel, and it's disgusting. There's a caricature of Michelle, and of course this was thought up by a couple of good old boys from Franklin, Tennessee.
Well, you know, she was saying, you know, I told you she was raised Jehovah's Witness, and she's a Christian. And she said, I'm a new Christian. She said, that's very upsetting to me that the Christian organization was responsible for that. She said, that really is upsetting. And I thought, you know, that's not Christian, please.
No,
but
this stuff was done for profit. What's a not-for-profit organization got any business hustling that stuff? Again, it's okay for them because the First Amendment's nothing but a life support system for the religion industry.
Yep, you got that right. And then they talked a little. The only thing they talked about politics today was about Elizabeth Edwards. And said that she said she was, it was difficult for her to learn to trust, you know, John again. Bless her heart. That just breaks my heart for her. But she's trying to decide what she's going to concentrate. She wants to do something good for the public. And that was basically the only thing. And
but Bill Clinton's going to be there on Monday?
Yeah. And if it's like John McCain, it'd be the whole show. By the way, I don't know if I heard it or read it the other day. I started calling you Bob McCain. Sorry.
Ouch.
I love what you call Bob McCoover. My daddy would love that. He's talking about Medicare, that he wants it only for people who qualify from a lower income.
Now, say that again, please.
Okay, you know how if you go on, like, get anything, like food stamps, you have to qualify by your income?
Sure.
Okay, he wants that for Medicare. And I just want to tell you this one thing about...
Lord, that makes me angry.
Yeah. I just want to tell you one thing about Jeb Bush. You know, he was our governor for 8 long years. Now, you got to have sympathy for us, please.
Well, okay, but somebody down there put him in office, Juanita. I know it wasn't you. You got my sympathy. Decent people in Florida got my sympathy. But that's kind of like the stock market crisis, Juanita. How am I supposed to feel all broke up for a bunch of people crying, Lord, Lord, when they're the ones that created the problem by putting this dumb little punk in the office in the first place?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm so surprised that people are still worshiping that man. But anyway,
Well, some are, but a lot of people are wising up. I just ran across this story earlier. It's kind of precious. There's a guy out there, a Republican, who is telling people that, you know, you really don't want to put "I worked for George Bush" on your resume. He says to do so is a bit of an anchor.
Yeah. Well, they deserve it if it is. Most of them. But I just want to tell you what Jeb Bush did down here one year. Talking about, you know, you have to qualify for different things, like for Medicaid and, mm-hmm. and for food stamps. And he lowered the amount one year. You know, usually they go up a little bit, but he lowered.
Well, that's because, yeah.
Isn't that surprising? And you know about him and, was that Langston Company?
Mm-hmm. He's dirty as the day is long.
Last year, everything they touch turns to dust. Everything.
Or something.
And I just want, I'm not going to say nothing else. I just want to say one thing about China. I was taking this class, I think it was some computer class at a college, and there was a Chinese student there. And he was having trouble with his English, and he was so embarrassed, you know. He said, "Oh, I just have a terrible accent, you know." And I told him one day, I said, "You know, I have a Southern accent." And I said, "When I was growing up, when I was little, we called it Blardy and Georgie, and we had all kinds of stuff. I said, Yowler, and, you know." And I said,
"Hey, you know what? I still cry when I watch old Yeller." And it's not old Yeller, but that's the same. That's the same thing as we got going on up here. It's not a hollow. It's a holler.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah. I heard that, but I told him, you know, and I think it made him feel better that, you know, it was, you know, that we weren't all, we didn't all speak perfect English either. And believe it.
Golly,
or
no.
It improved.
I'm sure there are literally millions of people in India who speak far better English than I will ever hope to.
Yeah, and some of them don't, though.
Well, yeah, the ones who
on the phone.
Yeah, the ones who work for tech support, not so much.
Some of them are really great, and some of them you don't know what the heck they're saying.
But you know what? I could not go to work for a firm doing tech support for people calling in from India because I don't know a word of any of the languages on that subcontinent.
You know,
so
we have a lot of Indian people down here and
sure
that area too. We have a lot of doctors and they're great. A lot, most of them are great that I've met.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Well, Juanita, have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Well, you too. And I'm sorry that I took somebody else's time, but I'm just
no, you didn't take any. You didn't take anybody's time. This was your time.
I just want to say a little more about The View because I thought it was pretty interesting.
I love the fact that it's apparently unpatriotic to ask a hard question of a Republican candidate now.
Oh, by the way, she said, did you hear that the great voice said that she turned the volume down when she watched Tina Fey?
No.
They're so sensitive. I've had bosses like that, women bosses. And you know what? When you watch her, she don't say anything but lies. Every word out of her mouth.
Yeah, she's.
I have heard her. You know they're lies, and she's not a good liar.
Well, they've been Think Progress is keeping up with it, and they say that she's up to 36 lies now.
At least.
So.
Oh, and by the way, from the McCain campaign, Juanita also doesn't know the first law of holes. You know, when you're in one, quit digging. You know the whole thing with McCain apparently thinking that Spain is in South America?
Spain is in South America?
Yeah, McCain said he wouldn't meet with Zapatero of Spain. Thinks he probably, yeah. Well, my friend, he lives right next door to Hugo Chavez. Another indication of how far out of it the old fool is.
Well, you were talking about her voice. What about his too?
Oh, that one, yeah, it drives me nuts.
My word.
But anyway,
when he's lying all the time.
So it turns out that Randy Schoenman, who is one of the lobbyists who works for John McCain, wrote to the Washington Post saying John McCain does too know where Spain is. He was just saying the White House would not commit to a meeting with the president of Spain, President Zapatero.
Why not?
Well, there's only one problem, Juanita. He's not the president of Spain.
Oh, okay.
He's the prime minister of Spain. And there's another problem. He's obligated by treaty to meet with them if necessary because they're one of our NATO allies.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were real friendly with Spain for a while.
Well, but they got rid of their fascist prime minister and put this man in, and he's, last I checked, he's kind of socialist.
Yeah, they don't like that.
No, no, can't do that. Well, Juanita, I'll run along. I do want to try to get one more call in. But awful good to hear from you, and I'm glad you could finally get through.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding, you know. I'm glad you got it fixed.
Never give up.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Night-night.
View correspondent Juanita calling from Florida, and we'll roll along here. And, hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Richard in Richmond, California.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
Good, good, good. I wanted to report back on the healthcare situation in these parts. And I just went to a managed care commission meeting a couple of days ago, and I just thought I'd like to share a little bit of what came down.
Sure.
For them that doesn't know, I'm a commissioner on the first government-operated HMO in the whole country, and it's really a trip. I used to be a member, and I, in effect, still am. I'm sort of in between categories right now. So one of the beauties of this, you know, the democratic aspect of it is that I can actually help steer my own HMO. I mean, is that cool or what? You know, imagine.
Well, it is. I much prefer a customer run, patient run HMO to one that's run by accountants.
Oh yes, but it's interesting because accountants really have to do it, even on this one. You know. I have been concerned about our rates. Now, we are the cheapest HMO in the whole region, but I have been upset that our rates are as high as they are. We run our own clinics, so, you know, a lot of the health care is performed in-house, but we have to contract out for things. You know, there are specialists who are not on staff. There are hospitals that will contract to us. Let's say if one of our members is in a different city and, you know, gets a heart attack. Well, we can't truck that person all the way to our hospital. You know, they have to go to the nearest ER. And we have to have a structure under which we pay that other hospital for the use of their ER or whatever, you know. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is, do we, let's see how would I put it, are we paying people enough in that what we pay for just about everything is the same rate that is used for Medicaid? So we don't pay people very much money.
Holy cow.
What's that?
I said, holy cow.
Yeah, and yet things work out, you know. as I mentioned before on the program, a lot of the rates that people are charged are, let's say by hospitals, are just outrageous if you come in without insurance. I mean, they're totally off the wall. And so one of the things I'm interested in is seeing how do we interface with other institutions, and is our software set up for sort of a bogus, a make-believe system that the whole industry agrees upon, but, you know, is fictitious, you know? So I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. I don't know if I ever will. But nonetheless, we're facing cutbacks right now. The state of California is telling us we got to cut what we pay for drugs by 5%. And we contract with.
Right, but so that's just a blanket statement. Where do you cut?
Yeah.
Where do you take the axe?
Well, that's a good question. Not only that, but what's even worse is that the state is trying to impose a 10% cut in what they're going to pay doctors for Medicaid services.
Well, and that's coming down from the federal government, isn't it, Richard?
It's coming down from the state government.
But I mean, the idea of the cut, the doctor and hospital fee cut originated with the federal government because.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Bob. I forgot completely about that. Well, one way or another, though, they're getting it from the state.
Sure.
But then again,
Richard, the states are in these positions, and you know, California has an economy that's larger than most nations.
Yeah, right.
The states are being put in this position by virtue of George Bush's tax cuts for the top 0.1% of America.
Yeah, I believe that. What I'm looking at is you know, how do we juggle ourselves and keep taking good care of people? We got over 40,000 members, and you know, most of those people are on Medicaid. We call it Medi-Cal.
Yeah, and there's, you know, what Juanita was saying a couple of minutes ago, there's, you know, there are people inside the Republican Party that say that should all be means tested. Medicare should be means tested.
Now,
Medicaid is means tested.
Yeah, but see, so far we've been able to play sleight of hand tricks. Like, you know, when it came down that we're not supposed to provide health care for undocumented immigrants. You know, that kind of thing. We've had little ways that we could maneuver around that. And, we're, nonetheless, we're still among any health plans in the region, we're the one that people favor the most. But naturally, if you live in San Francisco, you can't join our health plan.
Right, exactly.
Because we're a different county.
Precisely. Well, Richard, I hate to do this, but I've got to roll on. I've got to close the show so Peter can get started on his program.
Sure thing.
I'll try to. Hopefully, we get to talk again soon.
Great. Okay.
All right. Take care, Richard.
Okay.
Bye now. You know, people running healthcare, there are exigencies, but they're external exigencies that are brought on not by the people in the system and not by the nature of the system itself. It can work. A quick note from Gail that bears reading. She says, sorry to hear about your local idiot problem, talking about what Agnes and I talked about on Wednesday with the business with the Obama signs. And this is just a great observation. Being accused of love by hateful people always strikes me as a strange kind of insult. Ain't that the truth? Gonna hang on to that one. Yeah, I think we might even have to sit down and have a little chat with the kids and share that with them. Great way of changing the way, you know, if you take something out and you look at it from a different direction, look at it from a different perspective, a lot of times you can get a radically different understanding of the situation. Thanks, Gail. And thanks, everybody,